came up to me and she said, "We've asked Joe Barnett to preach this Sunday and he was already committed. Do you know anybody else who might preach for you?" I said, "No, I'm going to preach next Sunday." And she said, "Keep it short." And, you know, there are some people that you never ask the question why. One is your spouse and the other is Velma. But I do appreciate this so much. And I appreciate what Joe had to say. In the foyer, Joe said, "You know, most of our members weren't alive when you started here." And I said, "Well, that may be true. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey with you. And I thank you so much. But I will keep the sermon short, so listen up. I will not repeat what I have to say." We have an interesting text. We've been studying the book of Acts, chapter 19. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. That is remarkable, isn't it? It reminds me when I was a freshman and sophomore at Abilene Christian, I preached for a rural church called in a community called Mary Neal, which was some 60 miles from Abilene on Sunday. Coming back on Sunday night at that time, I don't believe we even had the FM stations. We had a station out of Mexico, Ciudad, Mexico, with 50,000 watts, which meant it went all over the United States after the evening. And that's the time that most of the radio evangelists would seek to present their sermons. And I would listen to them and marvel at their audacity. They would often say, you send a contribution to our ministry and we will send you handkerchiefs and cloths that have been blessed. I suppose they took up that practice from this statement by Luke as to the extraordinary miracles. Two things about that. You see, Paul has moved the disciples over to a rented hall that he made arrangements for because he had been excluded and the Christians had been excluded from the synagogue. There's an ancient manuscript that says that Paul preached and taught at this rented hall from 10 a.m. until 4 in the afternoon. And that coincides with the time that people in that era did not work because of the environment and heat. They would work early in the morning till about 10 o'clock, and then they would begin and resume work after 4. And it also suggests that the Apostle Paul supported himself by working in his trade so that he would leave his trade and some of the disciples would gather up the cloths with which he would have wiped his perspiration and his aprons that had gotten dirty and taken them to the sick, and they were healed. Even Luke describes this as extraordinary. I think there are a couple of reasons why Luke included this in the history of the church. One reason is that it was extraordinary, and so Luke wanted to let us know that in Ephesus, Paul accomplished things that were not normally able to be done. And secondly, it coincides with his theme, which is to say that the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul had parallel experiences which would show that one was not a greater apostle than the other, and would show that the apostle to the Gentiles was as much of an apostle as the apostle to the Jews, the Apostle Peter. You remember in the first part of the book of Acts, we talked about a phenomenon, extraordinary situation, in which when Peter would walk, they would lay out the sick and the inflamed illnesses of people who were so afflicted out in the street, so that when Peter walked down the street, perhaps his shadow would be cast upon those who were ill. So here is another parallel that the Apostle Paul himself committed or did extraordinary miracles simply by that which had touched him and being taken to the sick. Their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. Now, the next section is a story that just had to be included because it's almost a comical story, but it's important. But it is the kind of story that would be repeated in both Jewish synagogues and in Christian assemblies because it just was so funny. I read, beginning with verse 13, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And there were seven sons of Sceva. That ought to be a movie title, shouldn't it? Seven Sons of Sceva. A Jewish chief priest who were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. That is almost, you can just see how much both Jews and the Christians would enjoy that story. It's almost a comical scene. We know that evil spirits in the Bible are presented as having enormous power. One time Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee over to Gadara, and he was met by a man who had extraordinary power, physical power, and he lived among the tombs. And when they would try to put him in chains, he'd break the chains. And when they tried to bind him with ropes, he'd break the ropes and then would attack them. And they were very much afraid of him. And Jesus cures him. And he drives out. He sees the hogs that are being kept in the field. And he drives out. And there were 2,000 spirits that he put into the hogs. And they went over into the sea. Interesting story of how powerful. It is a study that is beyond our time limits today, but the study of evil spirits and demons, their characteristics, and why it seems they were so prominent in the ministry of Jesus in the early church, and then they seem to be less and less prominent after the second century A.D. What it shows is that these magicians, or whatever they call themselves, exorcists, who had made a living, I guess, out of going around claiming to have power to cast out demons, how they tried to appropriate carefully the power of Jesus without being followers of Jesus. And the results of that was that they were beaten and ran out of the house bleeding and naked. Well, no wonder Paul had a great ministry, because as soon as this was known, it says the Jews and Greeks were seized with all fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came out openly and confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. I want to make one comment about this act of repentance that those who had engaged in sorcery and trickery, they brought their magic books and they burned them. And there was quite a manifestation of that. You know, the problem with a lot of people who become Christians is that they keep a bridge back to their old life so they can go back to it. It's a wonderful thing. The burning of these books said to was an expression by these people of, we repent of this and we'll never go back to it. That's the difference between some people who repent, but you know, they never change their life or their lifestyles or their friends. And soon they're back in it. The temptation to go back into it is there. True repentance means you not only repent of what you've done, you cut off the bridges back to it. And that's what these people did. I have one other thing to say before we sing an invitation hymn. You read this week, I guess, of the man in some other state who had a pet tiger. It was illegal to have a pet tiger, but he had one in his backyard. And he had built a fence, so he felt safe because he built a cage for this tiger. And somehow, some way, this man got caught in the cage with the tiger and couldn't get out. Well, I guess it was a lion, wasn't it? That's what it was, a lion. When I read that, I thought, that is so tragic that a man, of what the man loved is what destroyed him. And whenever you mention of lion devouring somebody, there is a scripture that comes to all of our minds. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to be careful not to present ourselves again vulnerable to what may destroy us spiritually. That's what these Christians did in the city of Ephesus. They said, we're going to take these books, we're going to burn them. We're repenting of what we have done, and we're making sure that we can never go back to that again. And that's what I say we all need to practice. Don't leave a bridge where you can easily go back to what was a besetting sin before. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, and then if you're subject to confessing your faith in Christ and being baptized, you can come to the front. Or if you have a prayer request, you can come. Let us stand.
Please be seated, folks. And not you two. Mikey and Alan, hold up a second. I want to talk about these two. Well, you got time now. I have the microphone. Mikey and Alan have been dear friends our entire time together. As a matter of fact, it was 20 years, close to 20 years we came here. As generous and as sweet and as honest a person as Mikey and Alan are both, both of them pale in comparison to Mike, to Alan's sister, my dearest, one of my dearest friends, Lacreta Scott, who's in Pasadena now, and her husband, Jack. Jack and Lacreta and I did a great deal of work in Pasadena, California, working together. Jack is a state senator from the state of California. Lacreta is an educator and volunteer, and me with a television program in Pasadena. And we were able to put together many coalitions that work for the betterment of the community there in Pasadena and the surrounding areas. So as great of a person as Mikey and Alan are, Lacreta will still always be the apple of my eye. But I thank you, Alan, for allowing me the opportunity. Sight unseen, only going by Lacreta's word. to become a partner with you in this ministry some almost 21 years ago. And my dearest friend and the person that I admire most, Alan, and because Alan is who he is mainly because Mikey is who she is. So thank you both very much. Chris will do the prayer and the closing prayer. But what I wanted to do was to thank you all for your acceptance of us. And well, all of you know the health problems, my issues my wife has. And with that comes a partnership. We agreed some 44 years ago, that until death do us part. And so far, both of us are still standing. So we will be together, and thank you all for your patience, for your care, for me and for her. And it truly shows what a family is about, and it shows what Christians are about. You exemplify Christians more than any people I've ever come in contact with through the several congregations I've worked with. This group is truly family. And let us never forget that as families, we will have squabbles. But as family, we'll have squabbles, and the coming together again is even better because it's a loving coming together. So Alan, Mikey, thank you for 42 dedicated years here, and you two are Mr. and Mrs. Broadway, and make no mistake about it, and we're proud to have you both as our leaders. Thank you all very much, and Chris, you want to do the prayer?
Gracious and most heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for this congregation and the love and the fellowship that we enjoy together. We thank you so much for all the men and women who serve here continuously and who have served in the past to continue the work here in Galveston, and we just continue that it continues through the ages, Lord, until you come again. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are sick, both spiritually and physically. Again, we ask that the church here prop them up, help guide them, and take care of them the best that we can. Lord, we pray that as your church meets around the world, that you get the glory and the honor that you so much deserve. We thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for our loved ones and for our friends. And Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to eat. We ask in thanks that for all the hands that work to prepare this, and may it be a nourishment to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.